Shocker. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. How are you?
Excellent. You had to do any push-ups this trip yet?
No, actually, I haven't been dinged yet. But we had our new producer, Mike Lane, fly in today, and I got actually a lovely shot of him doing push-ups on the streets of New York City with the Empire State Building right behind him. It's actually quite artistic.
Oh, wow, geez. That's good to see you're working hard as usual. So,
well, you know, it's been 20-some-odd days now. You got to come up with little ways to amuse yourself.
Looking at this series, obviously it took a huge turn with the announcement that Carey Price will not be returning in this series. And the Habs, they played a great game. They just couldn't solve Henrik Lundqvist. Do they take a page out of Chris Kreider's book and crash the net even harder in Game 3?
Yeah, I know. Hey, good question. The problem with that is the Rangers' power play has been scorching them. They've scored 4 goals on 10 power plays in 2 games in this series. So while you'd think that maybe getting a little revenge would be on their mind, the problem is they lose another game and things over. I mean, it's already almost over. So I don't know how you go crashing into that crease. You know the refs are going to be watching things closely. You know the league's all over this. So retribution, yeah, maybe you even the score. You put a good lick on the guy. You probably don't knock him out of the series doing it. All you do is take a penalty and their power play bites. So it's tough. It's not necessarily... Had the last game there been a 3 or 4 goal stretch, maybe you look at Dale Weiss and say, hey, look, go get in his kitchen or go make things ugly or whatever. But I don't know how you do it now. I don't know how you do it now. There's too much on the line.
Yeah, well, Kreider, I had one penalty called. So let's go to the penalty killing. What's suddenly gone wrong for the Habs, or is this just kind of the ebb and flow of a power play where the Rangers couldn't score to save their life and now it's coming in bunches?
Yeah, well, that's the way, right? They were 0-32 over a stretch of games. Now they've stopped overthinking it. They've gotten a lot more simple with what they're trying to do, and that's allowed them to kind of relax a little bit and the skill to come out. So their power play is going at a great clip right now. As for Montreal's penalty kill, it's kind of tough to know. This is it's a different look power play than what they're facing against Boston. And they're using a lot of the same guys, but they're just not getting much in the way of results. And the last game, obviously they didn't have Carey Price in net. He's supposed to be their best penalty killer. So, yeah, it was a bad time in the series, or bad time in the playoffs for Montreal's power play to go cold and for their penalty kill to go a little bit cold here. And so if you look at what's gone right for the Rangers, they've got the better goaltender now, the better power play. Their penalty kill is playing better. Rick Nash is scoring goals. They've got Marty St. Louis in that storyline that as a group is galvanizing them, that they're rallying around. This is a big, big, big pile of momentum in New York's favor right now. And I'm not sure how Montreal overcomes this, to be honest with you. This is a tall order.
Oh, it's huge. To beat Lundqvist 4 out of 5, I'd say it's almost impossible. Now, maybe Montreal can come back, and I think they win a game or two. I don't think it ultimately matters because I just don't see the East being that good. And I think the only advantage the Rangers might have is they pray that they can sweep Montreal or finish them in 5, and the West is a 7-game barn burner, and maybe fatigue's an issue. And even then, I'm not sure it's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and people have been singing that song all year long, that whoever comes out of the West is going to be the team that wins the Stanley Cup this year. One thing I'll say about the Rangers, I've sure been impressed with their blue line. And Ryan McDonagh has been all world the last couple of games. If he can keep up that level of play or close to that, not necessarily 6 points every 2 games, but just playing a ton of minutes, just making unbelievable decisions. Obviously, we don't see the Rangers a ton being out west, but really, really impressed with where this guy's game is at. So he's all world right now. Girardi's a good defenseman. Klein's playing a decent game right now. They've got guys that Stahl is a real good defenseman too. Their blue line is good. So you got a guy who is in the conversation for top goalie in the world and a real rock solid blue line. Then you got Marty St. Louis and Rick Nash who's scoring up front. They have some elements. I wouldn't be writing anybody off just yet.
Ryan Hirschog from TSN joins us. So if the Habs, if they're not going to try to, play within the rules and go to the net harder, outside of their penalty killing improving, Ryan. Now, what can they, because their penalty killing will improve, that doesn't mean they're going to score goals. How are they going to score goals?
Well, that's just, that's the million-dollar question. And Michel Therrien, back in Montreal today, was playing around with his lines a little bit. He moved Dale Weiss up. He moved Thomas Vanek down. We're not sure what he's going to do. I think, and Dregs agreed with me today on air, but that Thomas Vanek down on the fourth line is probably just off day sending a message. Thing with Vanek is, if you play him on your fourth line, he'll be absolutely useless to you. You either have to play him on your first line and let him try and do what he's supposed to do, and if he doesn't, just bench him. But there's no reason to expect him to fill a role on the fourth line. So it'll either be top line or two or just sitting on the bench, which is basically what it was last game, too. I think he played 11 minutes. So, but I think they need to tweak a little bit. I think it's time for him to some of the combinations are getting a little moldy, and maybe he bounces some guys around. Maybe he goes back to Desharnais and Pacioretty and Vanek together, because that's where there was some success. And maybe he – I'm not sure exactly what the formula will be, but he can't keep it stale. They generated lots of opportunities last game, but they weren't finishing, so you got to try and tweak a little bit, I think.
Vanek hurt?
No, the guys don't think so. And I made that point today. We're all going to feel real bad for chewing on this guy for 3 weeks and we find out he's playing with two broken wrists or something. But no, all the intel that we get and that John Liu, our Montreal reporter, gets, and Francois Gagnon, is that he's healthy. He's just not producing, and he's just not playing very well. And his get-up-and-go is next to nothing. It's almost like he's playing not to get hurt because he knows he's got a contract negotiation coming. And while, sure, without an injury, you'll probably sign a better deal, but you're costing yourself money every single time you step on the ice if you're Thomas Vanek right now. I mean, if you're a team that's in the market for a top three or four forward next year and you're looking at having to shell out $6.5 million, you're watching what's going on right now thinking, there's no way. He may help us get to the playoffs, but look what he does when you get there. It's not pretty right now, and Thomas Vanek literally has $1,000 bills just flying out of his wallet every time he jumps over the boards right now. It's not bad.
You think so in the NHL? Because GMs always seem to have a short memory, Ryan. You look at guys, one guy, you know, you can get $5.5 million for being a 20-goal scorer once.
Yeah. That's true, but, I mean, Thomas Vanek turned down $50 million. Do you think he's going to get $50 million in free agency?
No, but did he turn it down because he knew that it was in Long Island?
He turned it down because it was in a city he didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
He turned it down because we wanted to come back out west. I think the numbers made sense, probably, in his mind. I don't know if he was arrogant enough to think he was going to get a pile more money than that. Maybe. I don't know what his agent was telling him. But he turned down $50 million. Now, I think as much as there's lunacy at free agency, if a general manager can witness what we're witnessing right now and open the wallet and in good conscience go to his owner and say, I need you to commit $50 million to this person, I just don't know how that happens. So maybe he still gets that high-end dollar figure. Maybe he still gets his $6.5 million, $7 million, whatever. But maybe it's only 3 years. Maybe it's 4 years. Maybe a team isn't willing to commit the long-term deal that the Islanders would have been willing to put on the table for him. So he's not helping his cause, that is for certain. And I can't imagine the Montreal Canadiens will bring much to the table to try and keep him after this debacle.
Shauger, enjoy New York. We will chat with you later this week.
Okay, pal.